after RFRA, what local communities are doing to appear welcoming, and how a key supporter severed ties with a downtown law firm. The repeal of the common wage law advances, the Illinois governor picks a fight with Indiana, and the cancellation of an intern tour of the Capitol Dome. That plus a Final Four report card and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending April 10, 2015. Programming
is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, in the wake of the Religious Freedom Bill, communities from New Albany to Lafayette voted to outlaw discrimination against gays. In Muncie, Mayor Dennis Tyler said red flags went up immediately after the RFRA legislation was voted on. He checked the city's human rights ordinance and realized it offered no protection against discrimination based on sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. He asked the city council to update the ordinance.
When you're trying to attract tourism, you're trying to attract new businesses, and you're trying to encourage businesses to stay, you want them to know they're welcome. And if they don't think they're welcome, why would they want to be here?
Where will the RFRA fallout lead? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanes, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shellum. Mike McDaniel, how many communities must act before state lawmakers will provide statewide protection?
Well, I think what you saw in the last week is just the start of what you're going to see. I think you're going to see more and more communities do exactly what they're doing in Muncie and New Albany and other places around the state. I think they're smart to do it. Clearly, cities like West Lafayette and Muncie are college-oriented towns, dominated. But even there, you know, you get in Muncie, you got a former state legislator as mayor now, who realized that the ferocity of this thing is such that you better get out in front of it. And I think that's exactly what they've done. I think they're smart to do it. I think you're going to see a whole lot of cities do exactly the same thing. And I think that leads to more pressure on the legislature moving forward, quite frankly.
Because we're seeing this because what the legislature did basically stands behind local ordinances, but it doesn't create protection outside those areas.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. In fact, you can be fired for your sexual orientation or your gender identity right now in Indiana, in every place in the state, as a matter of fact. So they need to act. We need to have the state legislature reflect the values of the community. And clearly the community has moved beyond the state legislature and certainly beyond the governor in this regard in terms of tolerance. And they need to do it. Every single corporate leader that stood behind the fix, as it were, on RFRA, all said it was the first step and that we needed to provide statewide protection. It's the speaker that's not saying that he'll let this be heard, and that's the problem.
Well, and part of the problem is, at this point, he doesn't have the votes, but the corporate pressure, the pressure from organizations like the NCAA, potentially the NFL, we're led to believe will continue.
Oh, I don't see any sign of it being reduced, and I think it'll only grow. I think clearly what happens in the communities will set the agenda, as Mike described, for what happens in the legislature. We've seen it numerous times with legislation in the past. Local governments will pass open container laws or 08 and things like that, and then the state will then act and make it a statewide situation. I think that will happen, and I think it will happen sooner than later, and the corporate community will again be one of the pressure points. The local communities will be a pressure point. And actually, I remember watching that and listening to Senator Long, and he very clearly said that this is something that they will take up, and I think that it will be sooner than later.
I think that's right. I think it's inevitable that state civil rights protection will be extended to this category, sexual identification or sexual orientation. The irony here, paradox, I guess, that we've talked about before is how the rapidity, the speed with which this will happen is, I think, going to be much greater now and will be by necessity because of the backlash we talked about than it would have been otherwise. It would have been inevitable either way, I think, but now the timetable, I think, is much compressed.
To give an honest assessment of the environment in Indiana, this thing is still like a 55-45 situation in a lot of parts of the state. And it's going to take some time for some of those areas to come around to this. But I think the fact that this is happening in these cities now will help build that and bring it along and really force the legislature's hand at least to discuss this issue.
Plus, if you did some sort of linear forward projection, though, if you went back 5 or 10 years, the numbers would have been
such.
That's
what I said. I, 3 years ago, you would have said, what?
Yeah. Right.
Are you kidding
Which
me?
Makes me think that in 3 years, you'll see that.
But I'm saying now, because these cities are doing this, what would be a year or two to get us beyond where we are now, maybe 3 months or 4 months. And I think
we've seen the corporate reaction. Yeah. We've seen the corporate reaction. Is it going to take a voter reaction? Is it going to take an election?
Well, I think you're going to see voter reaction, because I think it's a very legitimate question for any potential voter to ask a potential candidate, saying, what is your position on this? And, you know, it seems to me that Mike Pence and people like Scott Snyder and the Representative Wesco have a lot to explain to people about why they caused this turmoil for the state. And I frankly think it's going to take a statewide amendment to the Civil Rights Act for gender identity and sexual orientation to try to repair the damage that they've done.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question, when will gays and lesbians be included in the state's Civil Rights Act? Your choices are A, next year, B, never, or C, after an election or two. Last week's question, how has Mike Pence's reputation been affected by the RFRA controversy? 93% said permanent damage, 4% said temporary damage, 3% said no harm. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Kurt Smith and the Taft Law Firm parted ways in the wake of the RFRA battle. Smith is one of the main supporters of Indiana's controversial religious freedom law. He posed with the governor and two other prominent supporters at the bill signing, but he left his job as public policy director at Taft after almost 12 years in the post as the RFRA fix was being considered. One of the firm's big clients is Cummins, a corporation that led opposition to the religious freedom law. And, Delaney, what's the moral of that story?
I don't know if there is a moral to that story. I don't know whether he left voluntarily or not. I mean,
they say it was his idea.
Well, then that's fine. So maybe it was time in his life for a change. Obviously, you juxtapose this with what's happened over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, maybe that was enough to precipitate the change. But I think everybody wishes him well. Certainly his family's been through an awful lot in the last few months, and it would be nice to see him settle at a place where he's comfortable, and he's certainly entitled to his, to his views. I don't agree with them, but he's entitled to them.
The fallout continues for the governor. What we've seen this week, folks who try to handicap the presidential race, the Washington Post has taken him off their list of GOP contenders. Larry Sabato at the University of Virginia has taken him off his list. The governor was supposed to speak at the NRA convention and canceled at the last minute, said he had a funeral to go to, but clearly this has had a political toll on him.
Well, I don't think there's any question, at least his reputation has taken a hit at this point in the process. But again, I will make the statement as I made last week, it's 2015, not 2016. I never really thought, as I've said numerous times on here, that I thought he was going to run for president, I thought he would run for re-election as governor. I still think that'll be the case. And I still think that he can win because he's got time.
You think that he will have a Republican primary?
I don't know. I don't think so, but you never know in this day and age. somebody could file. But so, you know, presidential, I'm not surprised that he would take those hits in the national media. That's kind of a given in this day and age, but he's certainly got a lot of time to get this turned around if he wants to turn it around.
Well, I mean, you can expect maybe David Letterman to make fun of him, maybe Jon Stewart on The Daily Show. What struck me, Neil Cavuto on Fox News did a commentary and said that he didn't appear presidential in this. That's got to hurt.
Well, yeah, and it goes beyond Fox News commentators. But you're right, that is certainly a clear signal. But if you look at even Republican office holders, former, current, in the state of Indiana and beyond, aside from a few of the Republicans who are seeking the presidential nomination, you know, Ted Cruz, Bobby Jindal, and a few others, in terms of Hoosiers and others who have standing, I think it was almost universal. I mean, whether it was Richard Lugar, whether it was, you know, people who occupy mayor's offices, former members of the U.S. House and Senate, it was pretty universal. So the fact that in terms of condemnation of the way this was all handled, so in terms of Fox, I guess that's in keeping with what, it, at least on this issue, is the line.
Does the governor have less clout in the State House at the moment?
I think yes. I think the answer to that is yes. We've seen in the last two sessions the legislature has given him victories at the end of each session. I think because of the way this went down, and I think because of the trust that has been breached within each of the majority caucuses, I think that it will be more difficult for him to get those kinds of wins at the end of the session. I think the legislature will take care of its own business first, and then if it can do something with the governor, then it will. I think his ability to use leverage with leadership is diminished. And it's not just there. I saw just today, coming up Illinois, near the governor's residence, there was an Indiana flag flying upside down at somebody's house, a universal sign of distress. Okay,
there are also yard signs that
there are yard signs. And I saw at the very same trip, not far from the residence, I saw a bumper sticker that said Pence was a mistake. So the momentum against him is building in the public, and he needs to do something to thwart that, or he's going to have even more trouble than we would anticipate.
Was there a disclaimer on that yard sign or on that bumper sticker?
There are about 10 on the yard sign.
I
don't think he redeems himself from this. I think the reason his numbers were good in the past was because he hadn't excited strong feelings. He managed to keep how far to the right he is under wraps. But he brought it out for everybody to see, and it was an embarrassment for the state, and he is linked with that embarrassment. I don't think people are going to forget it.
Well, he had a 62% approval rating.
And that's because he was very accomplished in those first 2 years in office, and so he's got a good record there.
That was yesterday's news.
Well, all right. The bill, moving on, the bill to repeal the common construction wage that applies on public projects like schools, jails, and other government buildings advanced in the General Assembly this week. A state Senate committee voted 8-5 in favor of the bill that is part of the governor's agenda. Mike Pence has TV ads that say it would reduce construction costs on public projects. Unions have their own ads that accuse the governor of trying to make it tougher for construction workers to support a family. The committee, meantime, approved an amendment that calls for new training programs for skilled workers. Here is Senator Brent Hirschman.
The amendment is the result of discussions with a variety of interested parties, including union shops, merit shops, private businesses, public officials.
It seems like everything but the budget's going on. I mean, you know, gouging workers and teachers and discrimination. It's just been a crazy session for us.
That's Brett Voorhees of the AFL-CIO, John Ketzenberger. Any surprise in the fact that the GOP continues to pursue controversial issues following the RFRA retreat?
No, I'm not surprised. This was one that when the Speaker signed on to the bill, it became clear it was a priority, and it moved through the House. It's moved through the Senate. There has been some adjustment. I think the recognition of Senator Hirschman's amendment about the training issue is important, and I think we may see some further changes when the bill hits the floor, or at least some attempts to make some changes. I don't think the common construction wage argument is over. I think that we may see those changes, but I'm also not surprised that they're going forward with this. I'm not sure that they've got the votes in the Senate to get it out.
There's some thought in the Senate that it should go to a conference committee or a study committee over the summer. There's going to be a worker rally Monday. Will that make a difference?
Well, I think any outpouring of sentiment has an impact. I mean, especially when lawmakers see their own constituents, you know, actually taking an interest in an issue, showing up, it'll have on the margins some interest. But I think the opinions are largely already established. You know, the only thing that I would point out about how this is, are you surprised that they're going forward with this? These are two distinct issues, and the battle lines and the coalitions on the two sides are dramatically different. You look at what we just talked about previously with same-sex marriage, the chamber and other business groups were overwhelmingly against the measure. Here you have a chamber, not every group, but but the chamber and a lot of business groups are overwhelmingly supportive. So there are some different alignments here to take into consideration.
But one thing the unions are doing in their ads is they're now trying to tie this to the discrimination issue. They're trying to make this about the governor.
Well, sure. They're trying to do everything they can to save a law that basically gave them a free ride as far as construction projects were concerned. This law is about public projects, and by eliminating this and putting free market forces into play as far as the bid process, you're going to save taxpayers money, and there's no question about that. I thought what Brent Hirschman did this week, Senator Hirschman, and putting some quality controls in the amendment that he did was a positive step. I thought it was very good, very well done, and they're moving forward. But as of this morning, there were 17 amendments filed for second reading going into next week's second reading when it hits the Senate floor. So John's right. This thing is far from over.
Yeah.
There's a lot of debate to take place this week, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this, because I think it actually will pass in some shape or form.
It should be killed. I mean, when you go back to Mitch Daniels, the only measure of success for a governor is the growth in personal income. With their war on workers, they've gone from 91 cents on the dollar nationally to 86, and it's going down again. And what they forget about this is paying a living wage to somebody who builds a state construction project also results in income taxes. The only tax revenue going down now is personal income. This is all part of their strategy. And it's
noting.
Really reprehensible.
Saving taxpayer money is
not
a bad thing.
It's not saving taxpayer money when you lose tax income.
Let me just point out one thing
this
worth noting this week.
75 years.
The Senate Republicans came out with their budget proposal this week, and I asked if they were concerned about the Boycott Indiana campaign having an effect on the bottom line, and Senator Luke Kenley said that's one reason why they gave the tourism department an extra $1 million.
Yeah.
They are worried, and they want to.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't address the personal income that they have made war on
this
and resulted in people making less money.
But one thing that's
money.
One challenge to the supporters of the repeal is that this is not something that was implemented in the last 10 years under a Democrat.
80,
I think it's 80 plus 80. Years, isn't it? So if you look around at every project on every college campus and downtown in sports, other types of things, and you say, gee, this was a good project, I like this in our lifetime, they were done
and
under that system.
Think
they
the
were
competition
done.
Is
they were done.
Save money for taxpayers.
Yeah, well, it depends on how the quality is. What you have when you have the union is you have the apprenticeship program and you have standards.
This is about
and that's
saving
what you're
taxpayer money.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it's
it
about,
is.
Let's
it's
move
about
on.
Making war on workers.
Oh,
that's what Republicans
ridiculous.
Do.
Moving on, Illinois Governor Bruce Rohner told the Chicago Tribune this week that he wants to try to rip the economic guts out of Indiana. He also said, we are coming after Indiana big time. The rivalry between the two states goes back several years. In 2011, the Indiana Economic Development Corporation launched a campaign to lure businesses away from Illinois after tax hikes in that state. It was called Illinois. Kevin Briniger of the Indiana Chamber of Commerce says he's not surprised Indiana is being targeted.
He's trying to rally the people of Illinois to put pressure on the legislature to roll up their sleeves and tackle these big challenges and big problems that Illinois has that Indiana doesn't have, so that they can even begin to think about competing with us on an economic scale.
John Schwanis, Rohner made those comments when he was asked about RFRA. Should we have expected that reaction?
The only thing that surprised me maybe was the word choice, ripping the guts out, is really generally not what you hear from a state's chief officer.
He may be a politician. He doesn't appear to be a diplomat.
I mean, that sounds like it should have been more Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, who actually, I guess his parlance is more lends itself more to that. But I should point out also, he made similar comments and, of course, wrote a letter to businesses in Indiana trying to lure them away. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, you're right, it goes back several years because the economic climate generally is better in Indiana. It is more affordable. And if you look at, it's a longstanding rivalry, but if you look at, you know, who surpasses the other in different categories, I think aside from public officials in prison, where they clearly lead Indiana, everything else is goes Indiana's
Sounds
favor.
Like your feelings
We've had
got
a couple
hurt.
Of Republican convictions lately here.
It seemed like an overreaction.
Well, yes, it is an overreaction because he would not come out on the RFRA argument. Emanuel did very strongly and went after Indiana on that. Rauner did not, and I think he's overcompensating as a result, and that's why he said those ridiculous things. It sounds like he's out on the playground trying to beat somebody up.
He always said that he viewed Mitch Daniels as a mentor. Mitch Daniels didn't come out strong on RFRA either, and he's the one that started the war with Illinois. So what do you expect?
It's true. Do we welcome this
Indiana fight? Has been very successful in taking jobs away from Illinois because of the terrible tax burden and all of the regulations that they have in place there, you know, and he's got a long way to go to even come close to doing what he said he wants to do. Even this week, we're announced in the Ridge State Porch State report, we're third in the country in economic competitiveness. He's got a long way to go to be competitive with Indiana.
Well, Mike Pence has certainly opened the door for him.
A state house tradition appears to be coming to an end this year, and interns in the General Assembly are upset.
You recognize it from the outside, the state house dome that highlights the downtown skyline. Inside the building, all you see is the stained glass that hangs above the rotunda. Unless you go up this staircase behind a locked door on the fourth floor of the building. State Representative Tim Wesko found his way up there and was amazed by the 360-degree view of downtown. You can also find signatures and dates written on the walls, initials placed in the dust. You can look down on the stained glass. A couple of years ago, Wesko arranged to get his girlfriend up there so he could propose marriage.
I surprised her, too, so she wasn't expecting that. Flowers up there and everything else, and it was really neat. We were on top of the world.
And that's what the interns who work long hours for low pay were looking forward to until this year's tour to the top of the world was canceled.
The tours were basically informal. We have a host of very disappointed interns who always kind of look upon this as a rite of passage as the internship comes to a close. They get an opportunity to go up in the dome, sign their names like years upon years of people have done.
And, Delaney, the interns were told the tour was canceled for liability reasons. Make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense. They want to take the money away from workers. Now they want to take the fun away. Let them sign a liability waiver and let them do what everybody else has done going before them and take the tour.
You've been up there.
I did that tour as an intern. And the trip up is a lot more fun than the trip down. All I could think of was falling through that stained glass and landing in that rotunda. And I can understand why they'd be worried about liability, but seriously, come on, let's look the other way and do that.
I wonder about liability because several public officials were out on a limb thinner than this perhaps in recent weeks on a number of issues, at least figuratively. So,
he's been practicing this all week.
But I tell you what, the governor made kind of a high profile trip up to the top of the dome shortly after he took off.
I hope the interns can resume the tradition.
I suspect that the interns will get to make that trip this year yet.
Well, the Pence administration did say that they're reviewing the policy and haven't made a decision about future tours. So.
That's government regulation.
Smart thinking, they're the ones for let everybody, you know, do it on their own.
Finally, another Final Four in Indianapolis ended with a Duke championship this week. The Blue Devils beat Wisconsin 68-63 at Lucas Oil Stadium. At one point, Duke was down 9 points, but outscored the Badgers by 14 in the final 13 minutes. Four freshmen combined to score 60 of the team's 68 points. Duke freshman Tyus Jones.
Group and, you know, the best team that I've ever been a part of. And we've worked hard all year, and this has been, you know, our one goal that we were working for.
Mike McDaniel, was the Final Four affected by the RFRA debate?
Not that I could see. I was downtown all weekend and attended all three games. The city was vibrant, a lot of economic activity. They set new records for spending in this town. I mean, it's a great Final Four. We do better than anybody else. Other than the outcome, I thought it was tremendous. I was for Wisconsin.
Me too.
Sports Corporation reported all sorts of records.
It was great, and there were signs up everywhere saying we're welcome, trying to undo the damage that Mike Pence has done, and I think they succeeded. I just wish that if he was going to sign that silly bill, he didn't do it right before the Final Four.
That would have been helpful. A lot of talk about making this a permanent site. Does that go anywhere?
I don't think so. I think there's a lot of value to having it rotate and come here every 5 or 6 years. That's a great thing.
Should be here every year.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T, rethink possible.